I'm Demi Roberts, stage and studio, in my home studio, and we're about to listen to music by violinist, looper, and vocalist Joe Kai.
I would write a happy song for you to make your dreams come true. La da 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 da. You would spend the night alone and cry to sleep upon the kitchen floor. La da 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 da. When I create, I regurgitate. I'll romance up, fade. Literary criticisms in the tongue of a stranger. Everything I've heard, everything I've said, everything I've thought in the moment that passed us away from me. Passed away from you, passed away from us. Passed the path to the swings in the back of my complex. Singing to the heavens. Bring her home, Lord, hear us. Deliver us and purchase us a Benz. Signed, Jesus. If I could fly to you, I would. I wouldn't be giving up so soon. La da 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 da. Don't you worry about a thing. I'm here in your pocket too. La da 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 da. I dream of escaping this madness that surrounds us, confounds us, leaves us astounded and doubtful of love around us. When all I have to do is say hello, how are you? How does it feel? Is that so? Is that true for you too? Yes, all I do may not lead to success, but the days I digress, I am blessed as a guest to dance with the best of us, cry with the worst of us, and stretch like the octopus inside of us, in spite of us.
Well, that was simply amazing. I'm Demi Roberts here with Joe Kai, and he is pretty incredible. Thank you for that spontaneous performance.
Thank you for having me.
So this is what's so interesting. I'm gonna take a photo and post it on the website because, you know, you are a one-person band.
This is apparently true, yes.
You have brought a couple of pieces of equipment here, so people have to see to believe. But, you know, it's just so interesting that you have this particular style where you sing, you do what you call looping. How do you explain looping?
Sure. So looping is basically where you're recording on stage. So you, if you had a specific phrase like a... So I recorded it once and now it's going. I don't have my hands on the violin. And then on top of that, you could record something else. And now you have a full chord as though there were multiple violins playing simultaneously.
Well, it isn't really a new thing, right? Because a lot of musicians use this, but for your work as a violinist, I mean, you're classically trained, so it's kind of a new thing for, I think, in that realm.
For sure. I mean, I think classical musicians tend to be a bit more conservative as far as their use of technology and err on the side of acoustic instrumentation, but... You know, this is something that I discovered, I would say, in 2010, and I was really intrigued by all the different possibilities for one person to create, layers upon layers of sound. And then also to explore through this medium the different voices that exist within myself. You know, how can I bring light to these different individual thoughts and emotions and voices, but also figure out a way to bring them to some semblance of harmony? How can they listen to each other? How can they work with each other to create something larger and greater?
Well, tell us about the song you just played. What was the title of that?
That's called Happy Song, and it's really about my upbringing as a immigrant in the United States. I was born in Seoul, Korea, moved to the United States when I was six, and my dad was a PhD student for basically my entire childhood. So family of four, you know, on a TA salary, and of course none of the other family members are allowed to work because of the fact that he was here on a student visa. So sometimes happiness was hard to find. You know, there were moments where, you know, we wished that we had some more money or some more resources and greater access, I think, to the American dream. And it was in the smaller moments, whether it was practicing alone in my room for a few hours or swinging on the swing set with my sister, waiting for my mom to come back from working illegally at a teriyaki restaurant, the little moments of love and emotion and shared experience that I leaned on for comfort and for joy.
Where did you grow up?
Seattle, Washington.
And is that pretty much where you're from originally?
I guess, yeah. I mean, from third grade on, that's where I was raised. I moved around a lot before. My first U.S. city was Boston, lived there for a couple of years, lived in San Francisco for a few months. But I would say I feel closest to Seattle.
What's your earliest memory of music? I mean, was that part of the household? It's not often, you know, in an Asian family.
Yeah, everyone loved music in my family. My dad was a kind of a self-taught guitarist. My earliest memory ever is actually completely sonic. I remember being on my mother's back and pressing my ear against her shoulder blades and kind of drifting off to sleep as she would croon these, traditional Korean lullabies.
Oh, do you remember any of those? I mean, can you sing? You can sing those?
For sure. And they're actually, it makes an appearance in a couple of my songs, but it's 잘 자라 우리 현이, 잘도 잔다 우리 현이. Ad nauseum.
Oh, so maybe you can play one of those later on.
Sure. Yeah. Figure out how to put it into a song. Yeah.
I'm curious. Your journey started, you know, in Seoul and then in Seattle, and then you ended up going to Yale. Yeah, that's and was it the Yale School of Music?
No. It was Yale College for undergrad. It was a huge privilege. And it was quite a culture shock to go from Seattle, Washington, Garfield High School in the Central District to a place like Yale, where there were so many different resources and so many passionate people all there to realize those passions. Although at the time, I didn't know I wanted to be a musician. I was an American Cultural Studies major, and I looked at ethnicity, race, and migration, and how different art forms can spur political action, galvanize communities, and of course, express and form communal identities. It wasn't until I started teaching high school after graduating for about 4 years, and during that time, I began to realize how much of the world I did not know as far as what was possible.
So you really didn't study music formally then?
No. When I was at Yale, I was in an a cappella group, the Society of Orpheus and Bacchus. I did some work with the dance department, creating loops and doing music for improvisational dance classes. But I never thought in a million years that I would be pursuing music full time. I mean, when I was growing up in high school, if I wanted to pursue music as a career, then it was go to Juilliard and become the next touring solo violinist in the classical music world, which was a world that, at least to my parents, I think was understandable and easier for them to digest and associate with achievement in a land where to them achievement was. There were a lot of barriers to get to that those levels of achievement.
So earlier I said you were classically trained, mm-hmm. but are you?
I am, yeah. I started in the Seattle Public School System in fourth grade, and then through the grace of several private school teachers, I started really doing a lot of classical music. It really wasn't until senior year of high school that I started to do more jazz and sneak off to blues club during lunchtime and explore improvisation.
And yet you opened for Yo-Yo Ma. What was that like?
That was truly, truly amazing and truly humbling. I was at the Mondavi Center in Davis, California, and I had all these preconceived notions of Yo-Yo Ma himself, right? I mean, this esteemed classical musician. But there was such a laid-back, humble humanity to his presence on stage. And the way that he played, I wouldn't say that it was technically perfect, but I think because of the technical imperfections, there was so much of him and so much emotion and realness in those little moments, in those shifts that happened ever so slightly differently than what you would hear in a recording. Yeah, it was really a delight.
The other part of the spectrum of your, you know, your big, I guess, brushes with fame is Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, I got to open for him for three of his rallies down in California, and they were really amazing. I mean, there was the first one, his first rally in California was in Sacramento, the state capital, and it was at Bonnie Field. There were, I think, an estimated 20,000 people in the audience. And, you know, no matter what your thoughts are politically, just to be in front of that many people of all ages, sexual orientations, races, proclaiming their patriotism and love for this country, and then for me to be able to do a Jimi Hendrix-inspired Star-Spangled Banner with overdrive on the violin and lead the national anthem with that audience was really, hands down, one of the best musical experiences of my life.
And then the other part that you mentioned to me earlier was that you were on NPR Science Friday. That's completely different.
Yeah, but definitely a different crowd, but a lot of fun nevertheless. A lot more dorking out and a lot more geeking out.
What were you doing on that?
I was basically providing music because it was a live show, of taped show. Usually they do things in the studio, but basically they kind of went on a tour, and one of their shows was in Davis, California. And so I got to play and kind of weave my music into the show.
That's so fun. That's what a great range of experiences there. If, in case you just joined us, you're listening to Stage and Studio on location in my office studio. I'm Adibe Roberts with my guest musician Joe Kai, and you can find out more about his music at joekai, that's KYE.com, and I have all that info at stageandstudio.org and kbu.fm/stageandstudio, where you can also hear this entire interview. And I have a link to Joe Kai's site as well. So Joe, I'm going to actually ask you to play another song, but before you do, you say that you're influenced a great deal in your music by the immigrant experience itself. Can you elaborate on that?
Sure. You know, I have this upcoming album. It's going to be called Migrants, and we'll be following it up with a tour of US and Asia. One of the big creative, perhaps inner struggles that I have is to create music that is meaningful to me. As someone who moved to this country at a young age and felt the pressures of assimilation and the pressure to fit in and buy into already fabricated identities, it's been a really long process for me to discover and respect the authentic voice within myself. So I have a lot of, I guess we all have issues, but I would say a lot of my issues stem from being an immigrant, to be perceived as a perpetual foreigner in this country, for people to comment on how good my English is. And I mean, the list goes on. But through my music, I feel as though I normalize myself, I normalize my thoughts, and I can also create a new sound and perhaps something that can bring comfort and a sense of belonging to not only Asian Americans in the United States, but really to any population that feels that they don't fit in, that they somehow don't belong. I talk a lot about vulnerability. I talk a lot about universal aspects of what it means to be human. And I think through that, I'm trying to bring people together that perhaps would not normally be seen together.
Well, your new album that you're working on right now is called Migrants. And so do you have a piece that you can play for us from that?
Sure, yeah.
I sit all alone in a heap as I wait by the door. I cry in my sleep, in my dreams, as I wait for more. So where are you? Where are you? Why did you go? So where are you? Where are you? Why did you go? why did you go? So where are you? Where are you? Why did you go? Where are you? Where? So where
So is that the title, Where Are You?
It's actually called Bam Bam's Lullaby. Bam Bam is my dog. I have a 100-pound Akita at home. She's a darling. And originally the song was, I guess, the song is written from two perspectives. One from Bam Bam, of her being at home while I'm out. So what is her her experience like? On the other side of the same coin, my parents live in Korea right now. And so oftentimes there is an outpouring of emotion that happens across an entire ocean. And so often I wonder to myself, you know, where are they? Why did they go? Yeah.
Well, now that you've explained that, it makes total sense. And I also, you know, I understand that Akitas are very loyal dogs. Have you seen the movie Hachiko's Tale?
Yeah, Hachi, yeah.
Hachiko?
Yeah.
That made me cry just thinking about it. But yeah, so tell me about your dog.
I love her. She's a sweetheart, and she's got the cutest little face and the largest paws that you've ever seen on a dog.
Yeah, and she waits for you to come home?
For sure. Yeah, she's very loyal, good guard dog, but she loves kids. She loves all humans, really.
Oh, she sounds wonderful. So, thank you for playing again. It's just lovely. It's lovely to have this personal concert here on stage and studio. So you are working on this album, Migrants. How many songs are you doing?
At this point, it looks like it'll be around 8 tracks. About half of the album is done with a trio, actually. So I do my looping and my what you're hearing right now. But I also have an awesome upright bassist, Chris Frank, and a awesome Latin drummer, percussionist, Matt Berger, who actually does a show on KMHD called the Latin Tinge. So fantastic core there. And then half of the album will feature arrangements with a 12-piece string orchestra made up of musicians from all around the Portland area.
But you also have a dancer who's collaborating, too.
Yeah, dancer Ching Ching Wong, who has been dancing with the Northwest Dance Project for 7 years. And she'll be moving on and embarking on a tour of her own and a project of her own. Actually, we'll be collaborating for a lot of this upcoming tour. So we're creating a couple of different pieces to perform while we travel from an orphan school in Nepal to Singapore, to Japan, Korea, China. It's been really amazing to be able to plug into Portland right away and to be able to collaborate with some fabulous, fabulous artists.
Well, how long is this tour and how many cities are you going to and how many countries?
I don't know if I know the number of that off the top of my head. We'll be in LA, we'll be in Boston, New York, San Francisco, Austin, Chicago, DC, and then we'll be going to, in various iterations, we'll be in Japan, Korea, China, Singapore, Hong Kong, Nepal. I know Ching Ching will be in the Philippines as well. So yeah, there's a lot currently in the works, and we'll probably be done with the tour around summer of 2018.
Wow, that's 6 months. But you're coming back to Portland and different parts of it, right?
For sure, yeah. For sure. I don't think my partner would not allow for me to be on the road for that long.
So neither would your doggie. Right.
Very much so.
So what have you found out about Portland since you've been here?
I was coming from Sacramento. My wife Natasha was doing her residency down in Sacramento at the UC Davis Medical Center. So I will say Sacramento was amazingly diverse because of its history, because of its past. There are so many different cultures and peoples and various levels of immigration as well, and they're all kind of melding together in this wonderful town. Portland obviously is certainly not as diverse as far as ethnic backgrounds are concerned. Although I will say that I feel like that's been changing, you know, in the past few years. As far as the art scene is concerned, I've been really really happy with the reception that I've gotten here. I think in California, audiences tend to become perhaps a bit focused on themselves, and it's more about being at the event, being seen at the event, and so you'll have a lot of people talking and kind of taking selfies. But you know, to be able to go to some of these amazing shows with Kamasi Washington recently, and have a whole ballroom that is packed, and everyone is just really engrossed in the experience of the music itself. That's been really, it's been inspiring to see, and it's great to play for an audience that I think appreciates music on a more nuanced level.
So what do you feel that you want to accomplish in your musical career?
The everlasting question. I think that's changed over the past few years. But at this point, I want to make music, I want to be creative, and I want those creations to give life to people. I want my music to be a testament to my experience moving between borders, and hopefully through that music, I want to inspire people to question the borders around them, whether they be real or imagined, and recognize the humanity that lies in other people. The title of this album, Migrants, is about that. Obviously, it's a pertinent topic as far as actual geographic movement of people, which is, of course, a very natural phenomenon that has been happening since the dawn of humanity. But beyond that, I think migrants to me is also about how do we as individuals become more fluid in experiencing other lives of the humans around us. The more fluidly we can shift back and forth and empathize, the more we can advocate for those that are suffering and create a more just and equitable society for everyone.
And so your theme for your album kind of centers around that thought?
For sure.
Well, thank you so much, Jokai, for being here today and giving me a personal concert.
Anytime.
So do you have a song you want to play us out with?
Sure. I mean, we've been talking about vulnerability and all of that, so I'll close off on a song called 11-8. It's a song in 11-8 that I discovered accidentally because I made a mistake as far as looping is concerned. Then I decided to run with it, and the chorus began to write itself.
11-8 being the date?
No, it's the meter of the song. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know there was such a thing.
Yeah, well, so, you know, 4-4 is like, yeah. Well, yeah. So, yeah, 11-8, I guess, would be an eighth note gets the beat, and there are 11 eighth notes within the measure. But
how mathematical. You're going to play that for us?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So, okay, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me. Really appreciate it.
La da 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 Migrants, Jokai's new album, will be available January 8th at jokai.com. His CD will also be available at the upcoming performances of The Brothers Paranormal, presented by Theater Diaspora at PSU's Lincoln Hall on January 19th at 7:30 p.m., January 20th at 2 p.m. and 7:30 p.m., and January 21st at 2 p.m. Jokai will be performing live at each of these performances of staged readings. You can find out more about The Brothers Paranormal by Thai American playwright Prince Gomovilas at theaterdiaspora.org. The play features two Thai ghost hunters hired by an African American couple. This supernatural comedy drama also addresses grief, loss, displacement, and mental health in cultural communities. Find out more at theaterdiaspora.org. And you can get all this info at stageandstudio.org or kbu.fm/stageandstudio. And don't forget to like us at facebook.com/stage, the letter and studio. Till 2018, I'm Dime Roberts, wishing you a happy new year. ¶¶